Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. Quite often when we think of the prophet Elijah from the Old Testament, we often consider him to be only a messenger of the law who pronounced judgment upon the sin of idolatry. That famous incident where Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume the water-drenched sacrifice on the altar, and then the subsequent slaughter of all those false prophets, truly shows us that Elijah was an agent of God's wrath upon those who practiced idolatry in the land of Israel. But yet the ministry of Elijah was not completely all law and no gospel. The prophet also brought blessings of God's grace to other people as well, and our text for today is such an example. And in this text, we see Elijah staying at the home of a poor widow and her son. After telling the wicked King Ahab there would be a drought upon the land for the next several years, Elijah was directed by the Lord to go and live out in the wilderness for a while. And when the water dried up from the brook that sustained him with drink, Elijah was told by the Lord to go to the town of Zarephath in the region of Sidon outside the land of Israel and stay with a widow who lived there. And when Elijah arrived at Zarephath and met the poor widow, who barely had enough means to support herself, he asked her to prepare him some bread, promising that the jar of flour and the jug of oil would not run dry until the day when the Lord would cause it to rain once again. And the woman believed the word of the prophet. She prepared a meal for him. And the Lord kept that promise that was made and miraculously supplied them with enough flour and oil to feed them until the day when rain once again fell on the land. But now, as our text for today says, sometime later on, the son of the widow became sick and died. And naturally, this mother was greatly distressed, and she bitterly complained to Elijah, saying, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Even though this distraught woman felt that Elijah was the cause of her grief, this was certainly not the case. Elijah did not come in order to bring death. Instead, he came to bring her life. Elijah's presence is what enabled this woman and her son to have their daily bread, to survive in the midst of that drought, to avoid starvation. This widow and her son would have been dead a long time ago if it were not for the word of the Lord spoken through the mouth of the prophet. For this Gentile woman, Elijah was God's agent of life and salvation rather than a messenger of death and divine wrath. And as we see in our text, Elijah felt compassion at the loss of the widow's son. And he took the boy in his arms and carried him upstairs and prayed to the Lord, asking that his life might be restored. And then the Lord answered the prayer of Elijah, and the boy's life returned. And Elijah gave the living child back to his mother, who joyfully proclaimed, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Our text happens to be the first instance of a miraculous resurrection from the dead recorded in the Old Testament. But this miracle also reminds us of the several resurrections of the dead that Christ performed during his ministry in the New Testament. Jesus raised three individuals from the dead during his days here on earth. Like Elijah, Jesus also raised the son of a widow from the dead, the widow from the town of Nain. And Jesus also raised the daughter of Jairus. And as our appointed gospel lesson this past Sunday told us, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead as well. Of course, the resurrection performed by Elijah was only accomplished by the power of the Lord working through the prayer of Elijah. as he stretched himself out over the boy's body three times, calling on the name of the Lord. But the resurrections performed by Christ were accomplished simply by him speaking the word or administering his powerful touch. Elijah was helpless without calling on the name of the Lord, but Jesus simply spoke the word or applied his hand to the dead body, and life was restored. As great as he was, Elijah was only a prophet, a human spokesman for the word of God. He went where the Lord told him to go. He spoke the message the Lord gave him to speak. But Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And he came down from heaven in order to take on our human form. Jesus was both God and man at the same time, and he entered this world as God's agent of life and salvation for us. He came to deliver us from the curse of sin, to bring us hope where there was nothing but hopelessness and despair. And because Jesus stretched out his body and he laid it on the cross, where he died to save us from our sins, we now have victory over death. We have eternal life in his name. Because Christ gave up his body and blood as our sacrifice, we have freedom from the fear of death. We have deliverance from the power of the devil. And because Jesus himself rose from the dead, now through holy baptism, we are connected to his resurrection and to his life, having our bodies washed three times in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yet many times we behave just like the woman in our text. As soon as pain and misfortune come upon us, we're quick to think that God is against us. And somehow we begin to imagine that Christ is only a messenger of the law who has come to remind us of our sin. And yes, it's true, the law of God reminds us of our many sins. It even threatens us with death. Due to our sinful nature, the law makes us feel guilty. It causes us distress, and we may even begin to complain against God and accuse him to be the source of our trials and our tribulations. But yet, in reality, God is for us and not against us. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And because of Christ's death and resurrection, we have the promise of life and salvation. And just like Elijah brought food and sustenance to that poor widow and her son to preserve them in the midst of that famine, so also Christ does the same thing for us. Jesus is the bread of life, sent down from heaven. His body and blood given and shed on the cross feed and sustain us as we partake of his holy supper. And in that sacrament of the altar, the body of Christ is never used up, and the blood of Jesus never runs dry as we feast on that holy meal to preserve us in the faith until the day when our Lord returns. Yes, Jesus is the source of that spiritual food and life that sustains us in the midst of this wilderness of sin that tries to starve us into spiritual death. Now, those preparing for service in the church will soon be sent out to bring the blessings of Christ to others, many of whom face the same problems troubling this poor widow in our text. And at first, those who hear our message, they may think that we do nothing but remind them of their sin and that we do nothing but point out the threat of impending judgment and death. And you'll find many people out there in the world quick to blame God, and they complain against the messengers of his word when it seems that all is lost. But yet we who have received the word of God, we have the assurance that Christ is our source of strength and life in this world. It's his promise of forgiveness that gives us hope when the world has nothing to offer. And our confidence is not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, whose life and death and resurrection bring hope to a lost and dying world. We have the gospel. We have the sacraments that bring the saving power of Jesus into the lives of sinners. We have the word of Christ, who says that he has already overcome this world to bring salvation to those dead in their trespasses and sins. For Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, he feeds and sustains us in this dry and desolate world. As Elijah trusted and called on the name of the Lord, so we too, we call on the name of Christ, trusting in his word and spirit to guide us, for through our prayers offered in the name of Christ, we have confidence that our needs will be supplied, that our sins will be forgiven, and that we will have courage and strength to show forth the grace of God in Christ to those in need. In the name of Jesus, who is our resurrection and our life, amen.